What's going on? It's Etude Darrell, Darrell Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. It's the holiday season. Hope yours is treating you well, which means it's time to recap the year that was in professional wrestling. It's time to roar around the ring. All right, as we get ready for 2024, no Raw, no SmackDown, the week in between Christmas and New Year's. AEW is still live. Shout out to them for giving us some content.
Yeah, right on.
But we figured this would be a good time to kind of recap the 2023 in professional wrestling. So we're going to do the stereotypical categories, right?
Are we going to call these the Rorys?
Oh, I like that.
The Rorys. We're giving the out Rorys. The Rorys today.
Right. They don't do the Slammies anymore. Do they need to bring the Slammies back?
Don't matter. We do the Rorys.
We do the Rorys.
WWE dropped the ball on that
one. Forget the Slammies. We got the Rorys. How
I didn't
you spell
mean that.
It?
I didn't mean that, WWE. Just keep sending your wrestlers. It's okay. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful.
Please,
okay.
I'm sorry.
It's just the Rorys.
Is it so I E S or is it R O R Y S?
I didn't know if we were doing a spelling bee.
I just need to make sure I can envision the logo.
R-O-A-R-I-E-S? Yeah.
Yeah, I E S.
The Rorys.
In gold. I love it.
Yeah. Normally I would say it's tacky, but for an award,
I mean,
you know,
here we go.
You got to go all in.
All right, so let's get into the categories. Of course, WWE, AEW. If you want to throw other companies out there for these categories, by all means, go for it.
As you are a major New Japan aficionado,
yeah, you know, New Japan, Impact Wrestling, MLW, whatever you want.
Why aren't we talking about Ibushi?
Yeah, so I mean, he's AEW. Every
he's
now
AEW
then.
Now. I mean, the Forbidden Door thing. So
yeah, you know, a little something, something. So all right, so let's talk about the male wrestler of the year. Of course, WWE, AEW, World Champions involved. CM Punk's back in WWE. A
lot to choose from.
Who's your male wrestler of the year?
My pick, 2023?
Yeah.
MJF.
Good call.
I just think that the character progression has been done really well, and he hasn't had to really change much of who he initially was. It's kind of the fans taking to him
as
opposed to him having to change for the fans.
I think that's a good one. He was up there. He's not mine. He was my number two. For MJF, for me, I agree. It's a character progression and one that we didn't see coming.
Right.
Right. We had a hard time envisioning him not as a heel.
Right.
Not as that, you know, scumbag that we want to boo. And not only do fans cheer him, but he does a good job of giving us a reason to cheer him.
He's our scumbag, though.
He's our scumbag, right? Yeah. And I'm glad that he hasn't, if he is the devil, I'm glad it hasn't. Now, if he's the devil, and if it was revealed by now, would that change your answer?
Probably.
Okay.
So it can be revealed after January 1st, and I'm cool.
Yeah. So we got 2023, he was the male wrestler of the year. 2024... Their first AEW Dynamite is what, January 3rd?
Yeah.
3 days into 2024, it could change.
Yes, yeah, so, but that won't count for this.
That won't count for this. No, not
so your pick.
So my pick, and it's tough because it's not 100% the wrestler's fault or, you know, their credit either way, right? Cody Rhodes was up there for me.
Okay.
The booking decisions, which we know what that is, and I'm sure we'll get into it, that kind of haunted him. Although he had over 100 matches, consistency is key in here too, which is why MJF is up there, because that was always one reason why I never gave it to MJF, because the dude would have 4 matches a year.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give a guy that have 4 matches a year wrestler of the year. That's another thing. He's having a lot more matches. He's on Dynamite consistently. Mm-hmm. He's having matches on Dynamite consistently, and they have more pay-per-views than they had a couple years ago. My answer is going to be Seth Rollins.
Oh, interesting.
I think Seth Rollins, again, you talk about consistency, and I think, you know, when you look at the Roman Reigns situation, he still holds that title. He's barely ever around. He's only had a minimal number of title defenses over the last couple years. It feels like even less appearances somehow. Yeah. And, you know, he never wrestles on Raw or SmackDown anymore. He's only a pay-per-view guy.
Which I do appreciate that they're keeping him brand specific,
yes,
which is nice,
right? So, but part of that is because they made that world title in May, and Seth Rollins, whether you've loved his world title run or not, and loved the writing around it or not, he has been consistent. He is there every week. He's given us a legitimate title run that we can follow, right? And you know, the challengers that he's had, the matches that he's had, he's going to have another good one with Drew McIntyre at day one, and I think that consistency, along with the headlines that he has created, because now we have a second main event of WrestleMania that we're assuming that we are just as, if not more, excited for than Cody and Roman. And that is because of Seth Rollins, and that's because of Seth Rollins' title reign. When you think about Seth Rollins and CM Punk, that's just as big of a deal, if not more. And that's because Seth Rollins has made this world heavyweight title emergence. Not saying anyone else couldn't have. he's made it make sense.
Well, I think more so to your point, the CM Punk Seth Rollins possible Mania match that we're assuming we're going to get, it's because there is a deep sense of like realism to that.
Yeah.
For their, you know, outside the ring feud. So that adds to it.
Yeah, and I think just having that, another show, it's brand specific. They have a title that we care about, that we're following, that is on TV every week. And Seth Rollins has been the only one to hold it so far. So it's hard not to give it to him, especially when WWE was struggling a year ago with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar constantly that was, in that title picture.
That was the title picture, yeah.
And neither one wanted to show up every week, nor wrestle, right? Seth Rollins has changed that game.
Well,
that's exactly
I don't know.
What
Roman, Nick Aldis seems to have some different rules on that now. So.
Shout out to Nick Aldis, too, by the way, man.
By the way, just real quick, and we'll get off that segment.
Yeah.
The only GM that looks like he could pose a physical threat.
Yes.
If Roman Reigns wanted to get in his face, he could probably choke Roman Reigns out.
Yep. And I think he just, outside of that, just the lines that he has, the way he delivers them.
It was a really nice, subtle reality check of, hey, don't forget who the boss is.
Yes. And we haven't really had that. Adam Pearce does a decent job of that, but Nick Aldis is one step
up. Well, for SmackDown, Roman Reigns has been the de facto GM.
Yeah.
Calling his own shots. Yes. Now that he has someone that's really telling him, look, I'm the executive branch. You'll be here when I say. But
I love Adam Pearce, but we're also talking about Adam Pearce, who ended up having a match with Roman and getting his ass beat on SmackDown while being the authority figure. So,
well, you know, Adam Pearce now gets to yell at War Game. So,
all right, female wrestler of the year, same type of idea when it comes to WWE, AEW storyline, everything included. Who you
For
got?
Me, my pick has to be Mommy Rhea Ripley. Yeah. She is the dominant force in the women's division and basically across the board.
No, I agree. I think, when it comes to what that whole faction has turned into, the Judgment Day as a whole deserves a shout out, but it starts with her.
Absolutely.
And I know that they don't say, we don't have a leader and this, that, and the other, but when we're watching, who's holding the title consistently, right? Because Finn and Damian have been back and forth as tag champions. Dominic keeps losing his title. She has been the champion since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And she is the leader of the heel faction, basically, but she's over as ever. People
majorly.
Love her.
Yeah, major.
People love to talk about her. People in other companies are talking about her. So she has been the face of this women's division. And honestly, it's important when you think about the fact that this is after Sasha Banks left.
Yeah.
Right? Bianca was hurt for a while. Becky has kind of had an year, right? Charlotte's hurt again, okay?
Yeah.
And Bayley has been stuck in this damage control storyline. So the four horsewomen, and along with Bianca Belair, who have been the faces of the women's division over the last 5 years, have been either injured, away, or busy.
Yeah.
And she has kind
of
taken
It's not race. Just that. It's stepping outside of the world of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Is she is such, I guess you can say, kind of a crossover to the mainstream.
Yeah.
Of just with her look, she looks different than basically any other woman in the women's division.
Right.
And in any company.
Well,
so I think she gets that sort of like admiration from casual fans who are like, oh, I like her. I like to see her, you know? And it's just, there's a lot to like about Rhea Ripley, whether it's the look, whether it's the in-ring, she's dominant, everything. I think she's a megastar.
She is. And again, it's somebody that you don't need to put a label face or heel.
Exactly.
And when you get to that level, you made it, right?
Yep.
Even someone like a Bianca Belair, she was a heel way back in NXT.
Yeah.
We can't envision her as a heel. She's as face
she's
as face
over
can
as a
get,
face,
right? And, Bayley's someone that couldn't get over as a face and is a great heel, right? Charlotte has to be one or the other, and she kind of irritates people with how much she's in the title picture either way. Rhea just is over as Rhea, not as a face, not as a heel.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Exactly.
Moment of the year. I'd be surprised if you and I, which by the way, you and I did not share our choices. That's why I want to know.
No, we did not.
So
we did not.
I have no idea what his choice is, what my choice is.
Probably
but
not
I would
be having
shocked.
My paper so out in the
yeah,
view
don't
here.
Don't be cheating over
cheating
here.
Cheating on my test.
So, I'd be surprised if we don't have the same moment of the year, but go ahead. What is your moment of the year?
CM Punk returns.
Yes, CM Punk back in WWE.
Survivor Series,
Easy call. For it to be the same night as a Randy Orton return and to take the spotlight, there's two things that I've always argued with people with CM Punk coming back in WWE, and that is if he would ever, right?
Yeah.
Two reasons why it's crazy, not even just because of what happened 10 years ago and all the trash that he's talked about WWE over the time to make you think he would never do it, that Triple H would never do it.
Yeah.
but also just the fact that, keep in mind, and people may have forgotten by now, this dude was holding the other AEW world title 3 months ago.
Yeah. Yes, he was the champion for the other company.
Yes, he was on his way to another feud with MJF, seemingly.
And you just said something that does stand out to me is this is something that would not have been out of the norm for Vince McMahon to do.
Yeah,
because Vince McMahon has, you know, famously welcomed back people that left on bad terms. I mean, Hulk Hogan, for God's sake,
right,
is the prime name, Ultimate Warrior. But yep. Triple H, this we're still in the, I mean, you know, kind of past the honeymoon period of it, but we're still in the early on stages of Triple H's running the show. This is not something that is well documented for Triple H to bring back people that he had a lot of beef with.
Right. And I think it's one of those things that he needs to realize, that Vince realized, whether we like Vince or not, this type of stuff makes money in this business.
And that's the bottom line.
Like, people who don't
Shout
like
out
each
Steve
other.
Steve Austin. It's the bottom line.
Exactly, right? And people who don't like each other, you talk about CM Punk and Seth Rollins, yeah, they have a legitimate beef, but they're also both stars.
Yeah.
Go make me money, right?
That's
and that's how it works. And everybody knew, whether we love Phil Brooks or not, if you told anyone there is a chance that CM Punk is coming back tonight at Survivor Series, everybody is watching.
Off just a chance, not a guarantee.
No.
Just speculation. Eyes will be glued throughout the entire show. When's he going to show up?
Yep. And do you look at the reaction he got at Survivor Series, not just from the live crowd, but on social media. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about it. National news is covering it. This dude makes money.
And that's what WWE wants. They want to be featured on the sort of, I guess you can call them, legitimate sports, like ESPN.
Yes.
You know, things of that nature. When you can be that kind of crossover star and have that,
yeah,
it's money. It's
For me, it's just the thing of, like, if it's going to get people talking. Now, obviously, if he's going to come here and cause the issues he did in AEW.
Which I doubt.
I mean, to the point that, I mean, you got to remember, this happened during the press conference. You have Chris Jericho having to tell Tony Khan in the middle of the press conference, hey, we got to call the cops. Some shit went down. Right? Like, that's ugly.
Yeah.
If you can contain, like, that's obviously not something that you need in your locker room. But just because we don't like him, that doesn't mean I don't want to see him every week.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And I've said it 1,000 times. CM Punk is great for wrestling. Phil Brooks is not. Just keep Phil out of it. I need AJ Lee in the Women's Royal Rumble, though, after this. By the way, just throwing that out there. All right, let's go storyline of the year. Again, WWE, AEW, a lot of good storylines. Last year's, of course, we didn't do this last year, but I mean, the Bloodline, right?
Right, right,
and
right.
I feel like that's probably out of contention, should be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's easy to be like, oh, well, the Bloodline. Well, yeah, but
not this year.
2022 was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
It bled into 23, but it kind of sorted itself.
Because you had the Sammy turn.
Yeah, so for me, that's not even, I didn't pick the Bloodline storyline. Okay. I actually picked something that I feel is, I guess, kind of underrated, but also somebody that I really want to give flowers to right now because he's on a hot streak, Christian Cage.
Christian Cage.
Just being the daddy that we all needed and the father we all never had and just showing us the way. I think he's been, when you talk about a wrestler finding new life, And just a resurgence. He has been on fire. I think everything he's been doing, I mean, we can talk about some of the kind of like wonky booking here with Adam Copeland, but Christian has been phenomenal. He's my guy. I think his storyline with, you know, Luchasaurus / Killswitch and Nick Wayne, and, you know, with Adam Copeland Edge, I think it's just been great.
Yeah. We have to say that now with everybody that we say. So that's a Luchasaurus / Killswitch.
I know.
That's Edge / Adam
that's
Copeland.
That's a disclaimer.
Chris Jericho /
So
Y2J
Christian Cage,
/
I think his story and my pick for,
I love it. That's a top five for me, for sure. Wouldn't be a number one just because this Shayna Wayne thing, man.
Goes back to the iffy booking.
It's gotten wonky, but it doesn't take away
with my pick.
It doesn't take away from how great Christian Cage has been. It's not number one for me. My number one is actually going to be in direct correlation to your male wrestler of the year, and that's going to be the Devil storyline.
Ah, okay.
With MJF,
I think huge.
I love it. It's helped catapult MJF into the face that we see today, right? Whether you want to call him a face, whatever you want to call him, right? But we've gotten to a point where he is the top face of AEW. He's always been the guy with all the potential, the guy that's going to be a superstar. But because he was such a good heel and we hated him, we never called him the face of AEW, right?
Right.
We always looked at one point it was Moxley, and then we looked at other guys like Kenny Omega and then Adam Page and whatever. Now he is where he should be with how big of a star he is.
Yeah.
The top face in AEW. And this storyline has put him there because, A, the writing behind it, the cryptic, should have already been revealed. Maybe. I don't know. Now, of course, MJF being the devil would ruin this storyline, but just like you said, has been revealed in 2023. Yeah,
doesn't count yet.
So it doesn't count yet. Even though there's one more AEW technically left in 2023. So please take your time. You don't need to do it yet.
No, and I agree with you in the context of I don't think I would classify this as an underrated story because I think it's probably the premier story of AEW right now. But definitely thus far.
Yes.
With some little bit of misses here and there that they probably could have handled better. I think that it's been handled really well, booked really well, and everybody loves good mystery.
Yeah, so I think storyline of the year, this is it. Because the Bloodline, again, was it, and could have been, right? It was at the beginning of the year. Sammy turn, and then the Montreal main event, and then what should have been the Cody-Roman main event, and so on. I think this has taken over, and I think it's helped MJF, it's helped AEW, it's helped their world title picture, and it's helped really solidify who the face of their company is. This storyline has done so much that I don't think MJF to WWE is coming anytime soon.
I used to think
that used to be a thing.
Now, that would be the shocker, because you really feel like there's no reason for it.
Whenever they talked about the bidding war of 2024, I always thought, man, that'd be a good time for him to come to WWE. Yeah. But with certain things that have happened in WWE, and now this storyline in AEW, he belongs in AEW.
Agreed.
What about underrated, right? Stuff that people aren't talking about, or whether it be a wrestler, it could be a booking decision, it could be a storyline, it could be whatever it may be, something that people may not be talking about as much, or someone in 2023, underrated wrestler or story of the year.
So going with my initial pick, I will still say that the whole Christian storyline is underrated. Christian as a performer is underrated. Also, though, since we're focusing on this year, now, it's not really a full throughout the year thing. It's more of the beginning of the year thing.
Sure.
And it's more so from a pure performance standpoint of someone just getting it. I have two people. It's Bad Bunny and Logan Paul.
Love it.
For 2023, these are two guys. Logan Paul more consistently because he's there more.
Yes.
Even though he's not there all the time.
Nope.
But just two people that, again, and we've talked about it on the show and off the air of the show, that these are two people who, by all rights, have no business being called professional wrestlers. But from the standpoint of just knowing how to play the crowd, how to perform, how to be, I mean, it's A+ all the way.
Yeah.
For me.
You look at Backlash with Priest for Bad Bunny and what he's pulled off before that.
And it's something we always say, Bad Bunny's always invited back if we're going to get more of this.
Right.
So
he's too busy. I mean, because he is a, not that Logan Paul isn't, but Bad Bunny is currently red hot in the music world. He's on tour.
Right. So he's,
So like scheduling wise, he just, like Logan Paul can just make it happen. Do you think, real quick, do you think that if we gave Bad Bunny the time we're giving Logan Paul, would we get the same results, better or not as good?
See, I don't know. I think that it might be a thing where you don't go to that well one too many times.
Yeah.
You do it in spurts here and there, and it has to be backed up by people who are established or someone that's been in the game for a bit, like a Damian Priest or Rey Mysterio.
Sure.
With Logan Paul, I think there's that natural athletic ability where he can carry himself through a series of matches.
Yeah, and I think with Logan Paul, with what he does compared to what Bad Bunny does, he knows how to antagonize. He knows how to talk because that's what he's
done
before.
That's your key. Logan Paul's a talker.
He's a talker,
He's a great talker, too.
And and we haven't seen him in a match on Raw or SmackDown. His job has been so far to show up, cut promos, like you said, shit talk for a little bit, build these pay-per-view matches, and then go deliver at the pay-per-view. And I think that's where he's really just nailed this.
So for you, what's your pick?
Underrated, I'm going to go Wrestler of the Year. And the reason why is because we mentioned the Judgment Day as being one of the storylines of the year. But what do we say every time we mention the Judgment Day? Mommy, right? We go right to Rhea Ripley. Yep. Damian Priest.
Shout out.
This dude is something that has turned into, and I know he's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. First off, I love how we're not talking about that as much.
Exactly.
It's exactly what we've been talking about.
Because I've been even forgetting that he has it, which is great.
Yes, he's casually holding it. We know he has it, but we're not shoving it down our throats with every title match. Hey, I'm here. Hey, I'm at ringside. Hey, I might cash in tonight. It's happened a couple times. Like when he almost cashed in Saudi Arabia, I was not ready for that.
No.
Right? And
it
just
adds
to that moment.
That's how it should be. It should be a surprise,
So, and I think he's added that. And I think just him, the look that he's always had the look to get the platform that he's getting with the Judgment Day to show his mic skills, his personality, to be athletic the way he is with the size that he is.
Yeah.
He has thrived where he could be. And I love that they look at him and, you know, jokingly or not, as a leader of the Judgment Day. And I think that role has helped him. I love that the Finn Damian riff has kind of backed off.
Right.
That's not the way we needed to go. This whole faction has benefited him the most. Rhea Ripley, yes, but Rhea Ripley was already a star before the Judgment Day. It
yeah, she could be
her.
A star removed and it wouldn't hurt her.
Right.
You know?
This has benefited him the most because of the fact that if and when the Judgment Day were to break up in 2024, this dude could still be, whether it's a different faction, different team, or just himself, in the world title picture, and he's proven that.
Yeah, I mean, from his aligning with Edge back in, we could say Edge because it was WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
back Edge at the early beginnings of that, early onsets of what was going to be the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
I mean, his progression just has been really phenomenal, like, to the point, to your point now, where he can be a standalone star. If this group were to break up, you know, next week, Damian Priest is still in the discussion for being, not only just because of Money in the Bank, but he's easily could be believable as a title holder.
So let's talk about, and this could be another moment, or it can be a wrestler. Who or what is your disappointment of the
year? I'm going to let you go first. Because I think I already know.
He thinks he knows what I'm going to say.
And I'll be surprised if you don't say it.
Yeah, you're about to be surprised because I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say.
Okay.
You think I'm going to say Cody losing at WrestleMania.
I assume that's what you were going to say.
Assume. You know what happens when you assume.
You make asinine statements that I disagree with?
That's fair.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to choose Cody losing at WrestleMania. It's too easy. I almost put that as moment of the year.
Really?
Just because, and not in a good way. But when you think of moment of the year, it's also impact that you've had on the overall story.
Good or bad.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
That could have been a moment of the year. That was right underneath CM Punk to WWE. The reason why is that has had such a negative effect on the overall story because of the amount of times that we've talked about certain potential world title situations, whether it's the Royal Rumble, who and when's going to win Money in the Bank, cashing in, LA Knight's rise, everyone's rise, and we go right back to, well, we can't do that because we got to do Cody and Roman again this year at WrestleMania because they didn't do it this year.
Again, so, I disagree, but go ahead.
That's where it's almost moment of the year.
Okay.
We can discuss that, but my disappointment of the year, I'm going to go with Superstar, and I'm going to go with Austin Theory.
Oh.
Austin Theory, not because I was a fan of his, not because he was over as ever. I am talking about a guy that around WrestleMania time was booked like a star. Dude was a champion going into WrestleMania. He opened night one of WrestleMania. He beat John Cena at WrestleMania to retain his title. And then John Cena buried him because exactly what he said before WrestleMania came true. Yep. He did all of that, and nobody cares. And now you can painfully see every week on SmackDown that he is getting booked as a guy that the writers don't believe in anymore.
Nope, they have nothing. They have nothing for him individually.
And it happened within a calendar year.
I actually would have to concede. I agree to that one.
Austin
it's not my
Theory.
Pick, but I agree. That's a damn good pick.
Go ahead.
Mine actually is the handling of Jimmy Uso and him returning to the Bloodline.
It's a good one.
I just think his whole turn on his brother, on Jay, and then, before that, turning on Roman initially, right? And then turning on his brother, which to me didn't make any sense. Even the explanation was piss poor. And now him basically tail tucked between his legs, going back, trying to be part of the Bloodline. Now he's just a lackey again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so if we go back and watch all this footage of him super kicking Roman and telling his brother that he needs to stick together, him and Jay, and then super kicking his brother, I'm just like, this guy's whole character arc has just been trash. And now I don't know what you do with him anymore.
It's taken away from the fun, the flair of what is most likely going to be a Jimmy versus Jay WrestleMania match.
Well, not only just that, but it's also signaling to me that this Bloodline story is over.
It should be.
There's nothing more you can do here aside from have Roman lose the title and Solo go solo.
Yeah, and Solo go solo because Solo demolished John Cena and now let him get what Austin Theory should have got when he beat Cena at WrestleMania.
Which would definitely be more believable from Solo.
And for me, Cody losing at WrestleMania would have been up there. What stopped me from doing that outside of listening to you complain is that Cody still had a great year. Right.
It's pending, though. It's pending. Now, see, I'll tell you right now, and I will make this statement, and you can hold me to it. Come WrestleMania 40, if we don't get one, if we don't get the match of Roman Cody.
One-on-one.
Okay. One-on-one, no triple threat, no fatal four-way. Okay. If we don't get Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns one-on-one for the title, not only that, if we get it and then Cody loses, so either one of those things.
Yeah.
If we don't get it or we get it and he loses, yeah, I will then concede to you it was a terrible booking move.
Okay. I think it was a terrible booking move. I think it's a moment of the year candidate because of all the negative effects it's had on the rest of the title picture. Because every idea we have for a title picture, we go, you can't do that because we need Cody and Roman again at Mania. So that's kind of where it's hurt. But Cody
you
still had a great
year. You can
do it
if Cody wins the title.
Yeah, we have to wait another how many months?
Oh, it's not that long. It's fine.
It's been that long. It'll be a year that
we
got to wait.
You got to tell the story, man.
The story was told.
Finish the damn story.
Cody still had a great year, and that's what stopped.
We're
going
to get to WrestleMania 40 and find out the story has some missing pages. Oh, guess we don't know the ending.
2025, here we come. No, but Cody still had a great year, great matches,
absolutely,
great rivalries.
And the thing with Cody is everything, a majority of things based on or off of Cody Rhodes ties into a lot of the show on Raw. So yes. I think that he's still, you know, the story is still expanding.
Yes.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. We're good.
Before we get out of here, who or what is someone to watch out for in 2024? If you got to give us one.
One
person.
It could
be a name. It could be prediction. It could be whatever you want. Storyline.
Yeah, I'll give you one because I have a few things, but I'll just give you one.
Go ahead.
Damian Priest.
Okay. What do you expect from him? How soon in 2024? He has till July to cash in.
Yeah.
You have a year. Is he successful?
I think he will be.
He will be?
I think he will be.
Does that take away? Because that means he's either cashing in on Seth or CM Punk.
Well, there's a lot that can go into that. It could either be that, or we have to assume that at some point there will be a superstar shakeup. There could be. So if there is, maybe the night of the shakeup, he cashes in on the champion. You never know.
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot of upside to him, and we'll see him next year.
I'm going to go same show. I'm going to go Jey Uso. I think
that was my other guy.
Yep. See, you talked about how bad the booking has been with Jimmy Uso singles. Jey Uso has been the complete opposite. Yeah. The booking has been great. He has been great. This was a decision. It happened live in front of our eyes here in Detroit when they broke up the Usos. How is this going to work? We've only ever seen the Usos. They're twins. They've only been a tag team their entire 12, 15 years that they've been in WWE. And now you're expecting me to believe that they're singles competitors. Jimmy Uso isn't working out. Jey Uso is. I see him kind of casually getting into the IC title picture. I don't think he's the guy to take it off Gunther, but
no.
I think he will hold that title at some point in 2024 if he stays healthy and the trajectory remains.
I like that you mentioned that potential matchup or feud because Jey Uso not only being a you know, I wouldn't say he's great on the mic, but he's got good interaction with the crowd. He's also can be a sympathetic character if he's you know, fighting like from the bottom up. So against someone like Gunther, it would really, really work.
Roll Around the Ring is available wherever the hell you get your podcasts every week, including our friends in Detroit. You can get us at WRIF.com. He's at Dude Darrell Taylor. I'm Justin Valentine. 2024 is here. We'll talk to you guys soon.